truth. Shame the devil. We get upset if somebody get in our spot, and we're not going to put somebody, we're not going to ride, you ain't finna ride in my car. You ain't finna ride, you better get on, I'll go get the truck, I'll come back, you get on the back. But we're not putting you in the front. See, I can rinse the back of that truck off, but I'm not finna get you in the front. You know, that's how we are. Amen, y'all. Amen, church. It's all right. Amen, myself. Boy, I'm begging for amens this morning. So he took him and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He put him on his own beast. He walked while the man rode, took him to the inn or the hotel or the bed and breakfast, whatever you want to call it, and he took care of the man as long as he could do it. But I didn't help you last week. I'm not helping you this week. You need to get up off your lazy behind and go do something. You were sick last week, but you ready now. Go. You know, that's how we feel. Come on, be honest now. I know I ain't the only one. And let me admit, I'm the first one. Can anybody else admit that? Amen. I'd help you out last month. Don't come back next month. You should have figured something out about you can go pick up cans, you can wash cars, all this grass out here, you can't mow grass. What, the man's sick though. He's sick. He took care of him. I know this is different for y'all. Y'all want me to holler or something? It says, then he tells him on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence. 2 days' wage. In that day, 2 pence, a pence was a day's wage. He took 2 days' wage. Now, how many of you work 5 days a week? You make about $40 a day, average, just say that. And how many of you would have took $80? That's 2 days of pay. I work 2 days, and this is what I got in 2 days, and I'm giving it to somebody. 2 days' wages, and he gave it to the, he says on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence, and he gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He said, now the one thing I like about the Samaritan, he wasn't just putting on for show. Because the fact that he was able to tell the innkeeper that I'm paying this, but whatever more it takes to take care of him, I'll pay it when I get back. The innkeeper must have said he got good credit with me. His name had to have a good standing. Lord have mercy now. And that's something we need to take example here.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 20. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 20. Recorded are these words. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, there is a liar in the house. There is a liar in the house. Will you help me preach this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be aware there is a liar in the house. Now give God some praise for his word. John questions the validity of the statement of love for God when the believer does not have love for his brethren. John questions the believer's testimony about loving God and not loving the brother or sister whom he sees and or serves with on a continual basis. John calls into question whether or not the statement that one loves God is true when the one God loves is as much a part of God as God is a part of them. And how can you separate your love that is in your brethren from the love that is in God when they are quite clearly the same? I want to bring out three things that this verse reveals, if you will, and I'm going to let it go and let you go on home because I can tell you don't already like the title. But I want to reveal that there is a liar in the house, but I'll help you. I won't call your name. I'll let the Holy Ghost deal with you underneath your skin. Listen at this. First thing the Bible says, John says, if a man, comma, says, now, first thing I want you to see before we go any further here, John is exposing this supposed truth and testimony as simple lip service. Lip service. See, there are a lot of folk who can talk a good game. They can say the right things, but there's very seldom the walk and the works that back up those things. I want us to recognize that love, especially the love of God, in the Christian heart is there not because of the Christian, but because of God. And that love that God has placed in the Christian heart is not controlled by the Christian or the believer. It is controlled by God. And therefore, if that Christian or believer truly loves God, then he or she will do what Jesus has commanded us to do. John 15 and 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So now, one of the things that I think we need to understand is, if we have the love of God on the inside of us, and notice John here in the 4th chapter, 1 John 4 chapter and 20 verse, talks about a brother, not talking about a man in the world, a sinner, one of the secular society. He's talking about a brother of the faith. If you say you love God and you've got an issue of love with a brother or sister of the faith, the problem is you need to stop talking smack. Lip service. Because you have got to back up love with actions. You've got to show the love of God as Jesus showed his love for us and gave himself for us. If you love God, it requires a state of action on your part. Listen, if you love and it's godly love, then it means it's agape love. Agape love is the only love that qualifies our love to love a brother in the faith. As a matter of fact, that's the only love that we can love like God with, because it is the agape love, the love of God, that he has shed abroad in our hearts that makes us love like him. Even when we were unlovely, even when we were unloving, even when we were not lovable, his love was so powerful and so strong, it overpowered our issues and loved us anyhow. So if we are who we say we are, if a brother or a sister is in any way impaired, we still have got to love them with God's love. Now look at what the Bible says. If a man say, John pulls out the fact that he's just talking talk, lip service, I love God. Sounds sanctimonious. I love God. Sounds holy. I love God. Sounds righteous. I love God. Sounds religious. But listen, John ain't paying attention to them sounds, because sound without substance ain't nothing. I'll say it again. Sound without substance ain't nothing. And so John is putting out this reality for the believer to understand. Do you really know if a person truly loves God and has the love of God in his or her heart? It won't be hard for you to see that. It hurts my heart. It saddens my spirit to see so many believers in the church confess, I love God, and have some of the nastiest spirits. They're so fickle and phony that it makes you not even want to be bothered with them. They speak to some people, but they won't speak to other people. They get in their cliques and their groups, and they enjoy the company and the Lord with a few of them, but they can't love and enjoy the Lord with everybody who the Lord has saved, everybody, but you can't worship with some folk. There's some folk you can accept and some folk you can't accept, but you love the Lord. Something is wrong with that kind of spirit where people call themselves servants of the Most High God, and how you gonna serve God hating your brother and your sister? You're not fit to serve on any board. You're not fit to be in any ministry. You're not fit to call yourself a child of God when you say you love God and hate any brother or sister in the ministry. Listen, that may be some things you don't like about him. You got that right. There are many things you cannot like about a person, but to not love them, that's not a condition. That's not an option. You don't have that right. And Bible makes clear that if your brother or sister has ought against you or you against them, you go to them. Don't text on them. Don't talk about them. Don't get on the phone and shoo-shoo. Don't act like you are all of that and they are none of that. Don't act like God only fellowships with you and nobody else, because God will show you better than he can tell you. Somebody say lip service. John shows us that lip service is not the way. Your testimony don't mean a thing if you don't have substance behind it. He says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth, not hate, continually. See, when they hateth you, they find one thing after another to keep on hating you. The Lord bless you, they get mad with that. Let something else happen. They jump on the bandwagon. See? Hateth. The Lord deliver you. They get mad with that. Every time God blesses you, it makes them hate you more. Because they hateth ongoing their brethren. But John says, let me clarify what they are. They are a liar. He is a liar. She is a liar. In other words, you don't have to judge. No. All you've got to do is inspect their love. You know, all you've got to do is just inspect their love and you'll see the rottenness. You can smell the rottenness. You can see the rottenness. You can feel. Are y'all going to talk to me this morning? The rottenness. And from that, you ain't even got to taste the rottenness to know they're rotten. Listen, they are liars. Now, notice John didn't say he is a lie. Because if he would have said he is a lie, then it literally meant that he took an occasion to tell an untruth, but truth was still in him. Listen to me well. I want to clarify this and quantify that he says he's a liar, because it brings us to point two. He's talking about this person who say they love God and hateth continually their brother, point two, has a lying spirit. A lying spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, just look at John, Gospel. John chapter 8, verse 44. And Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about Satan. And he talks about three things. He talks about lust that Satan spews and permeates. He talks about murder that comes from Satan. And he talks about lying that comes from Satan, because he is the father of lies. And because there is no truth in him. Well, listen, if there is no truth in you, then what you are then is a liar. You see, if you tell a lie and somebody knows that you're lying, but they know you got truth, they say, stop lying and tell the truth. Because they know you got some truth in you, and you just chose to tell that lie. But when there is no truth in you, this is what you'll do. You'll stop telling that lie. That's right. And tell another one. And you'll try and make that lie cover up the last lie. And the reason why you keep on lying is because there is no truth in you, which means that you've got that lying spirit from your father, Satan, who is the father of lies. And when you got a person who has a lying spirit, man, it don't take nothing for them to lie. They just lie for no reason at all. They lie to get in the conversation. They lie while they're in this conversation. They lie when they get out the conversation. They lie about the conversation. They just lie, 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 lie. They lie to make themselves look good. They lie to make themselves look bad. They lie to make themselves seem like they're this and that and the other, when the truth of the matter is, it all comes down to a lie, because there is no truth in them. Boy, I can hear these liars getting quiet this morning. Liars don't like the truth. Look at their faces. Look at how they look, like if eyes could kill. Yes, my brother. Yes, my sister. Look how they frown up. Look how they squint. Look how they can't keep still, because lies are permeating on the ends. Ain't no truth there. Can't witness to the truth, because they have a lying spirit. Listen, listen. The Bible says, for he that loveth not, I'm almost through. I know you won't say amen now. That's all right. For he that loveth not, listen, for he that loveth not his brother, again, not a sinner, not someone outside the believer's faith, but a brother. Listen at this, because I want to back up just a little bit and tell you that a liar is one who has false faith. When I looked up what liar meant, you know, they are broken from the fellowship of faith. They have broken faith. Listen, they are separated from faith. They live in their own power and what they can do, and they do not trust God. They do not believe the word or the will or the way of God. If they can't control it, it can't be controlled, and they won't have any part of it. So when he says now, after he just called him a liar, he says, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. His brother, he sees. Everyone who says, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, I am a true brethren, I'm a true believer. I may not be as mature as you. I may not have come as far as you. I may not have grown as much as you, but I'm still a believer, even if I'm a baby. And if I am a believer, it is every believer's responsibility to love me as a believer. Help to nurture me. Help to grow me. Help to strengthen me. Help to make me the best I can be. Not talk about me. Not tear me down. Not hurt me when I'm already hurting. Not when I stumble, put your foot on my neck. But help pick me up and tend to my wounds and help me to see the error of my ways and help me to get it together. So it brings it to my third point. This verse reveals that love is sincere. Somebody say, love is sincere. Love is sincere. Now, with having said that it's sincere, I want you to recognize that there are some other components to this sincere love. Because when you know that it's sincere, you don't have to be fake and you don't have to be phony. You don't have to put on. You don't have to pretend. If there are some things that are out of order, some things that are not right, I don't have to overlook it. I don't have to sidetrack it. I don't have to turn my back. I don't have to close my eyes. I don't have to act like I don't see the real situation. Because if love is sincere, one who loves in the love of God goes to another who's in the love of God and set the record straight. Listen, if love is sincere, then you go to your brother or your sister in sincere love. Sincere love. This isn't about me, and it really isn't about you, but it's about both of us operating in the love of God. Because the world is watching us. How sincere are you when you talk about me instead of talking to me? Y'all ain't got to say amen. I'm on it this morning. You don't have to say you love God when you show that you love John. Because I know John is not one hand full sometimes, but two hands full. And sometimes I'm too much for me. Sometimes I get sick and tired of me. So I can understand if I get on your nerves, because I got news for you. You sure get on mine. But it don't mean I don't love you, and it don't mean we can't work these things out. It doesn't mean that I'm going to talk about you and drag for you and pull you down. It means if I can't get it together right now, I need to go back to the Lord and say, fill my cup and let it overflow with love. And so love is sincere. But love is also strong. Because when love is strong, listen, love don't let you have your own way. There is a right way and a wrong way, and love will keep you, constrain you in the right way. God loves us enough not to let us have our own way. Because our way leads to destruction. We're right in our own sight. And the Bible says, listen, the men who look at life through their own conceit wind up deceiving themselves. And when they're deceived, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen, when love is strong, then in the strength of love, not a feeling, not an emotion, but the strong love of God, one puts his or her feelings aside